into the cloud.
Okay, so welcome in, everybody. The reason I was asking this of Judy is that we had an executive session just prior to the meeting, and then Judy rejoined as host, so the host capabilities were transferred over to her, and that's what we were doing just there. So I'd like to call the June 9, 2020 meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence as we consider the anguish that's been in our country and think of hope for the future and what we can do, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that executive session prior to the meeting was for potential litigation. All right. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay, public to be heard?
Tara.
Yes.
Were you going to move the subject of the vacancy policy to later in the meeting?
I am. I was going to mention that when we got to the president's report. But yes, we are. That'll be later in the meeting. Correct. Okay. Is there public to be heard? Okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, thank you all. I think I'm unmuted. Yes, I am. Thank you all, and it's good to be here. From a standpoint of the Yellow Celebration sponsored by the Newtown Mercantile Group, that's been canceled for this weekend due to the fact that there is not enough of the police force in order to accommodate that. They have scheduled it, and I have talked to Carol Richardson in regards to doing it for next weekend. They have asked us if we would consider allowing them to go to the following weekend, which was the rain date weekend, which would have been the 27th and 28th. If that is the case, and I have to told them I had to speak with Chief about that, which I have not had the opportunity to yet, to allow them to celebrate their Saturday-Sunday scenario with the other side of the streets. From that standpoint, and also, I'm going to circulate around because I know Carol Richardson has emailed everyone and made sure that it's on their website, Newtown Mercantile Group, as well as our website, the application or registration form to be filled out and dropped off to Borough Hall at some point. But I'm going to be walking around tomorrow to make sure the retailers and some of the restaurants have that ability to make sure that they get registered. From that standpoint, just to make sure everybody's up to speed on what's going on. So, and unless anybody has any questions, that's all that I have at this time.
So, Corky, just I understand, you were saying that they're going to put it in an events form for the end of June, but we don't have it yet.
They have asked us to consider the fact that they want to go for the 27th. My dates here, the 27th and the 28th of June, which was originally to be considered as a rain date, for allowing that. And I don't know whether Chief is on board with that or not, because I haven't talked to him. But what was originally approved was basically the 13th and 14th and the 20th and the 21st.
Okay. I guess I was just a little confused that it was approved. I thought it was a form that was going to be filled out. But I mean, obviously, if everyone, I think we should approve it. I guess my question is, we already approved that. Okay.
So Nicole, I think it's not just me, just judging by everybody else's expressions. I think you're very quiet. Am I right? Is that?
Your volume up.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure. There may be a way for your speaker volume to be up because we're having trouble hearing what you're saying.
Okay. Is it still bad?
That's a little better.
I'm going to go back onto the iPhone. I'm going to go
No.
Not working.
I'm fine with it.
All right. Yeah, all right, I think Nicole's going to get her tech fixed. Okay. Yeah. All right, Chief? You able to join us?
Hi, how are you? Yes, as far as the request for the last weekend in June, I would have to check in on officer availability. We did call, attempted to get officers for this coming weekend, but it wasn't sufficient enough notice. A lot of the part-timers, they work other jobs and their schedule is set in advance. So it's kind of hard sometimes at the last minute to get them scheduled for anything, you know, during the middle of a month in which, you know, they already have other commitments from their other jobs. Department handled a total of 110 calls for service. Of course, the one that got the most notoriety was an incident outside of Starbucks involving a young lady that had an interaction with another couple. During the interaction, one of the people that were discussing with her bumped her and knocked herself in her hands. We did have meetings with the district attorney, discussions with the district attorney as far as what appropriate charges would be based on the facts of the case. And we reached a consensus of what the appropriate charges were, and we filed those charges. Court of public opinion, coming down on both sides, said, you know, not enough, too much. But you know, it was, with consultation with the DA, what we decided to charge on that particular case. Traffic has started to pick up. We're taking part of a quicker ticket program that we're receiving funds from the county for traffic enforcement with a emphasis on traffic enforcement dealing with unticketed drivers or belted drivers along with other aggressive driving actions. All in all, we had a demonstration over the weekend. It took place in the township, then you know, filtered into the borough. It went peaceful. We had no issues associated with that.
All right. Thank you, Chief. And I just want to thank you for handling what were some, difficult and unusual situations this past week. Very deftly and, with great consideration. And thank you.
Tara?
Yes.
I would like to compliment the chief and the other deputy. I think everybody has seen that video, and I think the chief and the deputy handled it very well to stop a situation that could have gotten a lot of worse. So I want to compliment our police department on handling that.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who didn't see on Saturday, chief was waiting at the Washington Avenue Bridge, just keeping an eye on everything. And, you know, those of you who were out and about saw there was plenty of officers just in case and, you know, at the corners. And I know you had a lot of planning in that, chief. And there was the corner event. And then as some people did dispersed, but as the final group started up Washington towards state, chief stepped up and joined them in the front and led them around. And then I saw chief had a conversation with some of the people in it. And I thought that handling of it was just really, really well done. And again, thank you.
For the most part, we were getting just compliments from the marchers and the demonstrators thanking us for keeping them safe. It wasn't really planned in advance what they were going to do beyond leaving the four corners of Washington and Sycamore. But when they started walking, I started walking with them and just asked them to let us know where they were going so that we could help them with traffic. And they were very amenable and just say, hey, we're making a right here, we're making a left here. So it really worked out well.
Yeah, and thank you. So as far as the president's report, I have one item listed under me, which is the policy discussion regarding filling vacancies, because that could get into some deliberation. And we've got residents here looking for their HARB COAs. We're going to move that discussion till after the zoning towards the end. And as the mayor said, we've moved into yellow. We've got shops that are able to be open now that were not under red. And I know the business community is definitely looking for the community to come back and to have that support. And as Chief mentioned, I'm sorry, Chief, as Corky mentioned, we've got our application up and restaurants are setting up some of their outdoor dining as they get those applications going. So we encourage everyone to be safe, but support our local businesses. I am going to ask council, and this is not a discussion for now, this is something upcoming. If you recall, in March, we had a discussion that in which Mike Clark, the solicitor, noted that there are consultants who can help us figure out, you know, do we want a part-time borough manager? What will be right for the borough? Going forward, as the job descriptions become bigger and heavier for our office. So I want you to consider what types of things we might want. For example, you know, administrative study, an organizational assessment, help with recruitment, and then, of course, looking at who we might have do that. So the original person who Mike Clark had suggested could possibly do this is not available, but there's another person he recommends from the Minor Center at Lafayette College. Of course, we don't have to use him, but he is one person who is available. So I'll be sending out documents, and I want everybody to think about that so that, you know, when we meet next month, we have some ideas about what we want to do and go forward. Okay, and that's it for the president's report. Okay, certificates of appropriateness, Sue?
Well, as you might imagine, there was a bit of a backlog from not having meetings. There were seven applications that were heard. And I actually am going to split this into two parts. I would like to separate COA 2020-016 from my first motion. Otherwise, I make a motion to follow the recommendation of the Historic Architectural Review Board and direct the President of Council to sign the following certificates of appropriateness, thereby approving the historical appropriateness of the applications with final approval by the Code Enforcement Officer. COA 2020-008, Phillips and Donovan Architects LLC, 198 North Chancellor Street, the Shields Residence. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for construction of additions and alterations to the existing house and renovations to the carriage house. Herb recommended approval of the application as presented, noting that the downspouts and gutters will be round and smooth. The siding on the carriage house will be wood tongue and groove or bead board, and the shutters are removed from the scope of work. COA 2020-012, applicants Steve and Emily Ricketts, 115 East Washington Avenue. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the replacement of windows and doors. Herb recommended the approval of the application as presented, noting that the window on the east front elevation will be a single pane aluminum clad casement window. COA 2020-013, applicant Wickus Design, 415 East Washington Avenue, Fisher Residence. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the construction of a bluestone patio with 18-inch stone seating walls and stone grill slash bar enclosure. Herb recommended approval of the application as presented. COA 2020-014, applicants Michael and Christine Franco, 240 South Chancellor Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the construction of a natural stone fireplace and grill slash bar, an existing stone patio, and installation of Bilco doors and an HVAC unit. Herb recommended approval of the application as presented, noting that the wood bulkhead doors will be replaced with wood and hardware will be similar to the existing style. COA 2020-015, applicant Jim Wakas, 215 South Chancellor Street, Fitzgerald Residence. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the construction of a bluestone patio with 18-inch stone seating walls and a 42-inch high natural stone fireplace. Herb recommended approval of the application as presented. And COA 2020-017, applicants Roderick and Kelly Cavan, 12 Barclay Court, The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the installation of a fence and door to screen the air conditioning heat pump. I recommend an approval of the application as presented.
All right, we've had the motion from Sue. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. I see now Ms. Shields is here from 198 North Chancellor Street. And then Sue, Ms. Andrade is here too, and you've asked to do that one separately, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, Ms. Shields, would you care to virtually join the podium and address council regarding your application?
I'm sure. My husband, Pat, is here as well. So together we'll do that. We weren't exactly prepared that we'd have to speak to it. But
no, it's your opportunity. You are not required to, but it is your opportunity.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. No, we appreciate the opportunity. We are longtime Newtown residents. We're looking forward to moving to the borough and taking, you know, moving our family there. The home probably many of you are familiar with is, you know, in disrepair. So we're looking forward to bringing it back to life and making it, you know, usable for our family. We appreciate, you know, the purpose of HARB and feel like we've designed something within the spirit of what, you know, HARB wants to do with the borough. So we're, we're looking forward to moving forward with it.
Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Shields? I have one myself, and this could be actually for Sue as well, but on the application, it said that would be Mr. Shield, I guess, your husband. He clarified that the three windows on the corner would be replaced with aluminum clad simulated divided light 1/1. And I know earlier you said that you were planning to keep all the windows, and I looked at the elevations and couldn't see where the three windows are, and I looked back at the old minutes, I couldn't figure out what three windows those are referring to. And we just want to ensure that the new windows are not aluminum. The windows in the existing building are not aluminum clad.
I'm trying to think of the, there's three windows that are part of a porch that was not part of the original home.
Yeah.
They are not, the windows that are there right now are, it's kind of hard to explain, but because we had some photos, but they were like slider porch.
I've seen, I know what you mean. They're called casement in the description of the minutes. But,
yeah, the only problem with the description of casement is that they actually open out and they have mechanics to it, including locking mechanisms as well as insulation. These are simply on a track that was sort of patched together to allow air, but they're not, you know, quite frankly, when you look at them, they look like neat French casement windows, which we would have kept if it was something along those lines, but they're basically not functioning windows. They're actually on some kind of track that are free sliding on, so there's no locking mechanism to them. So correct, we are replacing those three windows. There's two on the back facing and one on the side facing of the house. We're going to replace them with 1/1 on the side for which there are historic windows. And yes, they are going to be aluminum clad, if that's your question.
But you're rebuilding that. It's sort of like an enclosed porch area. And from the elevation, when I compare it to how it looks now, it appears that you're rebuilding that.
Yeah, it's not actually correct. It's going to be part of a bedroom. And it was part of some kind of exterior add-on that was done much later in the term of the home.
Right.
But yes, it's going to be incorporated into a bedroom that attaches to that porch. Those three windows will be replaced on the south side. What would be the south side of that room, will be part of, will be enclosed by another portion of the addition to that. So there wouldn't be a window there, but we do had, and again, I don't know if you have the old photos that we had for the HARB, but we found old photos that showed that room prior to those sliders that were added and prior to being kind of used as a porch, that they were 1/1 windows in that enclosed porch area. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you. So if anybody has any further comments or questions for either the shields or for anything else in Sue's motion.
I got a question on number 13 and number 15, both of which have grills and fireplaces. Is there a question of where those are placed in connection with potential fire risk? I don't know if we ever talked about this before, but I was just thinking, we're talking grills and fireplaces, and those are fires, and it's in a historical district. So I don't know whether that's something we consider or it's not considered at all.
These are on back.
To get permits to build these things, mm-hmm. So that would have to be reviewed by the code enforcement officer.
But these are both on back patios where there's quite a bit of space around them. It's not like they're right up against the house or right in the trees or anything. So,
okay, so for these particular ones, there's adequate space for having them. Okay, thank you.
Anything else? All right, yeah, it looks like we've got a lot of summer fun. Too bad there's no porch fest. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, the next one is COV 2020-016. And this isn't an issue per se. There was an oversight in what Harb wrote in the approval. And I talked with Jim, and his suggestion was that I simply amend what they wrote. So I would like to make a motion to follow the recommendation of the Historic Architectural Review Board as amended, and direct the President of Council to sign the following certificate of appropriateness, thereby approving the historical appropriateness of the application with final approval by the code enforcement officer. So as I said, it's 2020-016. Applicant is David Snyder, 113 Congress Street, Andrade Residence. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the construction of a new two-car garage at the rear of the property. I recommended approval of the application as presented, noting the shutters will be removed. The brackets at the gables will be eliminated. There will be a smooth finish on the garage doors, and this is the amendment, on the garage and the garage doors, as opposed to wood grain, and the windows will be aluminum clad instead of vinyl clad.
You need a second?
Yeah. I do.
Second.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. We also have the applicant here. All right. Elizabeth Andrade, would you care to have any comment or answer questions?
Yeah, I think, you know, my only comment is that my husband and I are fairly new residents of the borough and have loved living in a historic home and have really enjoyed the kind of role that the Harb has played in order to maintain that historic integrity, but really allowing us enough kind of wiggle room to make the house really our own. And so we just had a daughter and are excited to have her grow up in the area.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. That's all kind of unrelated to the garage, but just another example of kind of a modern amenity added to the great history of the town.
Okay, and you're that amendment, which is minor but important. That's part of what you're understanding what you'll be doing. Sure.
I didn't hear that from the original Harb conclusion, but that's I'm open to that recommendation. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So good. Okay. Any further questions or discussion?
Well, just to say that I appreciate that because the hardy plank siding that was proposed in the application was listed as select cedar mill, which is a wood grain, so that it would be not that, but a smooth grain, a smooth surface on your hardy plank, just so that you recognize what it was that we were requesting.
Yep, understood. And I'll make sure that that distinction is made to the architect and builder as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right. Thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.
All right. Solicitor's report, Mr. Clark.
Thank you. The solicitor's report was sent to council earlier. We list the items that we have been working on with for the borough over the last month. Obviously, as for the last several months, we have been working on a variety of issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic and related to the stay-at-home order that was issued by the governor. Last week, we had the meeting where we discussed the resolution that had been put together allowing for outdoor dining and retail sales. We also, over this past month, we have completed the negotiations and we'll have an execution of the agreement for you at our next meeting regarding the Bird in Hand property and the sewer easement that we have been trying to resolve for some time, and that is finally resolved. Also the property on 204 Penn Street, where we reached an agreement with the property owners regarding the driveway and the curb cut, that agreement from the property owners, that executed agreement from the property owners has been received. We're in the process of drafting the approval letter and the development agreement for 261, 263 South Lincoln Avenue, which council approved at its last meeting. We've also worked with the zoning officer and the zoning hearing board solicitor about establishing procedures for the zoning hearing board to begin to return to meetings, but doing it remotely and trying to address some of the challenges when applications are contested or might have particular community interest and how to best manage that. So we've worked with the zoning hearing board solicitor on that. We've been handling right to know requests that are related to the First National Bank of Newtown and the denial of their request to the HARB regarding their windows and how the Chancellor Center relates to that. And finally, as we discussed in executive session tonight, we have been directed by council to contact the Zoning Hearing Board regarding Rocco's, who is on the Zoning Hearing Board agenda for next Thursday for a special exception to operate a bar outside. Council is wishes to make sure that the impervious surface issue is impervious coverage issue is addressed. So we will be reaching out to the Zoning Hearing Board solicitor and the attorney for Rocco's to tell them that we want that issue addressed on the 18th also. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you. There was no vote in the time we, as far as any public input on our position for the zoning hearing board application, should we offer any public comment or is that all that will all be saved then for zoning hearing board meeting since we're not voting?
So you're not voting because essentially what you're doing is you're directing your attorney to take an action. If you wanted to ask for if there's any public comment on anything that I just said, that you're permitted to do that, but you're not required to do that. And that, the same would be for the Rocco's decision. This is an internal decision of the board to direct its attorney to take some action, and you don't need to take take public comment on that.
All right. Okay. Stick your hand up if you actually feel deeply you must say something. Otherwise, we'll move on. All right, any public to be heard? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next.
Mara, don't we have to ratify the resolution?
Yes, that's the next thing. Sorry, it's still Chief. I mean, it's still Mike Clark. It's still Mike Clark. It's the next item. Yes. So,
you're muted, Mike.
Oh, yeah, Mike.
I apologize. I don't have the agenda in front of me. So,
then we'll ask for the motion.
Okay. So, the resolution is to allow restaurants and other businesses within the borough to operate now that Bucks County has gone into the yellow, and it permits these businesses to temporarily suspend certain, or we are temporarily suspending, I should say, certain sections of our zoning code for a period of 90 days to allow businesses within the borough to operate essentially with outdoor dining or with outdoor sales, where otherwise they might have needed some sort of zoning relief to be able to do this. We are temporarily suspending that for 90 days because of the acknowledgement that many of the businesses and the restaurants that are allowed to reopen are not allowed to reopen with indoor dining and therefore can only have service outside. And I think at our last meeting, we heard from many of the business owners who indicated how needed this was for them. It also will possibly be needed after we move into the green, whenever that may be, because there still will be restrictions on the number of people who can be inside of a building. So council believed this was a good idea to take this step in order to help the businesses. We weren't able to officially decide how we wanted the resolution to read and what restrictions we wanted to temporarily suspend. A draft was circulated by our office to council. Council agreed on what they wanted to have put into the resolution, and by a straw vote conducted by council president, this was approved. So because of the unusual nature of the situation that we're in, that straw vote is permissible. And now you would be taking a vote to essentially ratify that straw vote and ratify the resolution. But the resolution has been in effect since Friday of last week.
One of the other things too, Mike, we need to just put in there is that we are also allowing them to operate without HARB approval for the things that they want to do.
I'm not sure if we added that to the original resolution, which was approved, but I'm not necessarily sure if that would be necessary because I think the HARB would be more on significant long-term changes, and I could be wrong about this, but we're talking more about short-term as of, we're not really allowing anyone to make any structural changes to their property right now.
But the temporary tents do not constitute anything that HARB would have rule over.
I don't think so, because it's temporary in nature. So
fine. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Bob?
Mike, did we put a deadline on the operation of this resolution?
It will expire in 90 days unless otherwise extended by council. And even though it may be in existence for 90 days, anyone who is operating under it, there will be no vested rights. So no one can come back to us on the 91st day and say, I have the right to operate on the sidewalk or in this parking lot or in this manner should be able to continue to do so. But we put it at 90 days with the full understanding that council could extend it if they saw fit.
For purposes of calculation, do we start with Friday or today?
It'd be Friday because in effect, because of the straw vote, the vote went, the resolution went into effect on Friday.
Which is why it's 6/4/2020.
Right.
The resolution number.
I would just like to make one final comment. I would like, on behalf of council, to thank the Mercantile Group, who organized an excellent presentation, and we had a thorough discussion. And this is just a good start to an ongoing relationship with our businesses to demonstrate council is concerned and is trying to find solutions for our community. So I want to thank the Mercantile Group and their fine people who showed up last week.
Thank you, Bob. So I'd like to entertain a motion.
I'm happy to make the motion. My only question is, do I have to list the, the things taken out of it, or can I just say it the way that it's written on the agenda?
You can say it just the way it's written on the agenda. There's not a requirement to read the entire resolution
Okay. All right. So I'll make a motion to ratify resolution 6-4-2020, establishing guidelines and policy for outdoor sales of food and merchandise of existing businesses in the borough during the coronavirus pandemic.
I second.
All right, we've had a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Public to be heard on this? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Solicitor. Bob?
I'd like to report that David Witchell met with the County Health Department representative, Steve Sanicero, and a representative from Perry's office to discuss opening the salons and barbershops. So I just wanted council to know that that meeting has taken place, and we're waiting for feedback from both the county and the state as to that issue. But David Witchell took the necessary actions to bring that to the attention.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Bob.
So we may hear more about that before our next meeting. So I just wanted to alert everybody.
All right, thank you. All right, engineers report, Michelle.
Thank you. Four bids were received for this year's road program. Again, this year's road program includes North Chancellor Street from Jefferson Street to the Borough Line, Mercer Street from State Street to Conger Street, East Center Avenue, where we're only doing base repairs, East Green Street, where we are doing one pavement repair, and at the Conger Street, Jefferson Street intersection, where we're doing one pavement repair. The low base bid was received from T. Schieffer Contractors in the amount of $145,047.48. In our bid tabulation, we told you how much money was expected from the Newtown Artesian Water Company with an agreement the borough has with them to do the roads where they are doing work this year, which will be on North Chancellor Street. There's also two residents in this year's road program who will have a curb, driveway, apron, and some sidewalk repair. And the amount of money that they are expected to fund the project is $17,644.78. We also had a alternate add-on, which is work along Jefferson Court. The low base bid and that alternate add-on was from T. Schieffer Contractors also in the amount of $153,886.63. So in our bid tabulation, we said if it is within the borough budget, we would recommend the contract be awarded to T. Schieffer Contractors.
Do we need a motion?
Michelle, how does that cost that came in compare to your estimate?
We did an estimate in November of last year, and this was about at that price. However, the road program changed from that estimate in that we were doing East Center Avenue rather than just doing base repairs, we were also going to be doing milling and overlay, and we took that part of the project out. And so again, we're only doing pavement repairs on East Center. And we also added the pavement repair on East Green Street and Congress Street.
So if you look at the amounts that it would cost the borough after we take away the amount that the residents would pay and the water company, in speaking with Pat, the recommendation is that we do the work, including the add-on, which is, as Michelle said, about $8,800. And I don't have the number in front of me, but it seems like the total cost to the borough then would be about $118,000. Is that right, Michelle?
It would be the total cost to the borough, is what you're asking me?
Yes.
Would be $119,867.35.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. I should know this by now. Mr. Clark, do we need to make a motion on this recommendation? We've already budgeted, we've already voted on our budget, but not this specific contractor with this specific bid.
Yes, because when you voted on the budget, when you voted on the budget item and this potential project, that was just more sort of the purpose of setting your budget and planning. This is when you are specifically now entering into a contract, binding the borough and spending money. So yes, right. This needs to be done.
I felt like we should, and this is what we've done before, but then I began to doubt. So thank you. All right. So would either Sue or Bob like to make that motion?
Well, before we do that, I have a question for Michelle. The sidewalk at the Burden Hand corner, is that a additional add-on because that's the borough's property? Or is that in the number?
That is not in the number. We would have to ask this the contractor that was awarded this this project to give us a cost to do that.
Because we need to do that to fix the corner for the handicap.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about some additional piece of sidewalk. No, the handicap ramp is within this contract.
But there's a curb right next to it. That's included in the bid?
I believe that it is.
It was.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't the resident that had to pay the extra amount.
Oh, you are not. You are not.
Okay, we just needed to clarify that.
Okay.
Before I make the motion, I want to point out that we met multiple times with the engineers and Michelle's staff and neighbors to discuss various ways to do things. So this was not just take a look at what we want to do and do it. There was extensive participation of the residents of the borough in accomplishing how we got to this point. So I now move to approve the awarding of the contract as identified by Michelle in the amount that she also specified.
So that would be, you move to award the contract to T. Schaefer Contractors Incorporated in the amount, now, the low base bid was an amount of $145,047.48. The borough is responsible for the $119,865.35. So
but that doesn't include the add-on, $8,800. So the total is really $153,886.63.
Right, the alternate add-on at the end.
Thank you.
So that would be the vote because then we remove the water, correct?
Approve contract. My recommendation would be to award the contract with the alternate add-on in the amount of $153,886.63.
Okay, as stated in the last sentence of the second paragraph of your letter.
Yes.
Okay, I want to be clear on this for basically for Judy's minutes.
Okay, and In that regard, I just want to clear up, Tara, I believe that you were off by $2 when you said the borough amount. I believe it's $119,867.35.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wrote. And I'm sorry, I missaid that then. Yeah, 867. So, but the vote is for the 153. Okay, so we've had a motion. Maybe we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Only that Budget and Finance Committee discussed this and thought that the cost effectiveness of the add-on for the repair work at Jefferson Court was definitely justified.
Thank you.
Public to be heard? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you all.
That was my only agenda item, but I also, you also have in front of you my engineer's report. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to report on is last year's road program. And we now believe, unless any member of council thinks otherwise, that that work is now complete. As of last week, it was, except for the crosswalk line striping. But we believe it's now complete, and next month you will be seeing the final pay estimate for that project.
Mm-hmm. Michelle. Okay.
Thank you.
Are you saying the crosswalks are in now? Because I haven't been able to get over there.
Yes.
And have you looked at them?
Personally, no, I haven't been out there yet, but we had our construction manager and our inspector both look at them.
Did they give us approval?
Yes.
Thank you.
Another item I have, unless there's any other questions, another item I had on my engineer's report is the Tomlinson development. This was the 3-lot subdivision on Jefferson Street. The approved plan showed 3 trees along to be planted within the right-of-way on Jefferson Street. Those 3 trees were supposed to be Franz Fontaine hornbeam trees. There was a site meeting with the Shade Tree Commission, and the applicant would like to go with the recommendations of the Shade Tree Commission and plant 2 Japanese lilac trees within the right-of-way and 1 Amur maple tree within his property in the front yard, if that is acceptable to council.
And I see that Mr. Tomlinson is here joining us this evening. Tommy, do you have a, would you like to comment? Or are you just here for any questions?
No, I just want to thank Michelle for all her help and the Shade Tree Commission, which gave us great input.
Thank you. All right.
Mike, could we, I think we should get a motion on that, if you agree, Mike?
I agree.
Okay.
I move that we accept the Shade Tree Commission recommendation for planting 2 trees in the right-of-way and 1 tree on Tomlinson front yard property.
A second.
All right. Do we need to add to the, can we amend the motion to state that there will be 3 Japanese lilacs and 1 Muir maple?
I think it was
two Japanese lilacs.
Okay.
Three total trees, 2 Japanese lilacs, 1 Muir maple. And the Muir maple is to be on the property.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure those specifics are in there. Okay. So would you care to amend the motion, please?
If I can remember the tree names. I move that we accept the Shade Tree Commission's recommendation to have 2 Japanese lilacs in the right-of-way, and 1 maple.
Muir maple
on the Tomlinson front yard property.
All right, got a motion, do we have a second?
Second.
I thought Nicole had.
Yeah, I'll amend that.
Well, that's right.
Oh, right, you have to amend the second, right, thank you. All right, any further? Any public comment? All right, and thank you very much to the Shade Tree Commission for meeting and considering that. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Motion passes, thank you.
The other items on my engineer's report are the mikveh development, which hasn't seen anything happening. And Mike Clark and I still have to get together to talk about easements about the vegetated swale, which I'm sure we'll do shortly.
Okay. And just so there's no confusion, that's not anything Michelle has dropped the ball on. That's me dropping the ball. I need to reach out to Michelle, and we'll get that done in the next couple of days. So,
thank you. Right.
Thank you, Mike. That's all I have.
All right. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, approval of minutes. Who would like to make a motion for the minutes?
I'll make the motion. Go ahead, Julia.
Oh, my. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the May 12th, 2020 online council meeting minutes.
Second.
All right. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
I move to approve the May 28th, 2020 online special council meeting minutes.
A second. Nicole, thank you.
Sorry.
All right, any discussion?
And this would include the changes that were forwarded to us late this afternoon.
Yes, it does.
Okay, and I'd like to make one further change, which was that regarding, this is in a statement that says, in response to President Granny McLaughlin's solicitor Clark stated that councilors can attend Newtown Planning Commission meetings as members of the public as long as there is no deliberation, to add the word and voting or voting by council, and then Mr. Clark had stated the deliberation and voting were two things that could not be done. And I wanted to make sure that was just clear in the minutes what we can and can't do. And so Judy was good with that. And I apologize for that last minute component of that, because the minutes were accurate. It was just more me wanting to make it clear. So is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you. All right, budget and finance. Nicole?
Sorry, I was unmuted.
Omar.
No, it's fine, I got it.
Okay.
So today, first, we'll do the approval of the professional services. I would like to make a motion to approve the professional services invoices from Rudolph Clark for April 2020. We'll start with that one.
Second.
All right, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Motion passes.
I move to accept, subject to audit, the consolidated expenditure report for the month of May totaling $205,000, $205,308.54.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Motion passes. Okay. Next, we have the discussion of the Ecode 360 ordinance update and the Chapter 550 zoning. Julia?
Okay. So I have put a lot of information up on the on ShareFile regarding this over the last couple weeks, and hoping that you had an opportunity to take a look at it and that we could just have a focused discussion on any items that anyone had particular question. And then I have five items that I wanted to bring to your attention and just make sure everybody was okay with that. So what I'm going to do is go through the few things that I had, and then I'll ask if anyone has any other questions. And I'm going to try share screen again, and let's see if I can get this to work. Okay. All right. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this, okay, everybody can see what I've got up here? Okay, this is that, this is the pages from that, the, you know, the 62-page thing that we got from General Code. And what I did was I had itemized or had pulled out the pages that specifically responded to the zoning chapter 550. Okay, and so starting here, and I'm getting a message that my internet connection is unstable, but we'll deal with it. Okay, so most of these things, you've already seen these. And what I wanted to talk to you about in particular was here where we have the yellow. And the first one is in regard to antennas, which I sent over to ask Valentina for her advice. And everything's falling now. Her recommendation was that we have our solicitor look at all of the ordinances, sections of the ordinance that we have that pertain to antennas, because not only are a number of them contradicting each other, but they're out of date. So my question to council is, do you have any objection to us giving this to our solicitor to work their magic?
I do not. I'm wondering why ECO didn't pick that up.
What they did pick up actually was that that there was a contradiction. This first one talks about the fact that our ordinance actually is not in keeping with the state ordinance with regard to the height of antennas. They didn't pick up some things that I found later on where there's a contraindication, that there's a conflict between our HARB ordinance and our zoning ordinance. One says, yes, you can have antennas, and the other says, no, you can't. So there is that problem. And then there's a lot of old terminology, because when these were written, you know, we had those great big enormous satellite dishes that took up your whole backyard, or you had all kinds of crazy things. So that the terminology and the technology is so far beyond these things that they didn't pick it up. So does anybody have any concern with us giving this to our solicitor to work on? Okay, hearing none. Okay, all right, so we're good with that. Okay,
Julia?
The second one.
Julia?
Yes?
Do we have Bob. Any of these type of towers currently?
I am not entirely sure if we do or we don't.
Because if there are any, would we be affecting a property owner?
Well, we're actually, what we need to do is have a more permissive ordinance than we have, because we have to, currently we have an ordinance that says that your antenna can't be as high as the state says. So we're actually allowing more.
Okay.
We need to be allowing more.
Okay. What we don't want is antenna on top of the tower at the stocking works. So that's,
But the HARB ordinance the HARB ordinance still stands, but it needs to be, the HARB ordinance has an extensive section of the chapter where it talks about what you can and cannot do for antennas in the historic district. Yet the zoning ordinance says you can't have antennas in the historic district. So there's a contradiction right there. But anyway, so we're going to give this to our solicitors to work through the night. Okay. The second one, is Valentina around? She's still here?
Yes, hi. My camera's just not working.
Oh, okay, but you're here. Okay. So the second issue that was raised is with regard to the fee in lieu of parking, which is in our ordinance right now, which allows someone who doesn't have the amount of parking they need in the TC district to pay the borough an annual fee in lieu for the missing parking spaces. And General Code did pick this up as being something that we probably couldn't allow. So I sent this over to Valentina. Valentina, would you like to speak to it?
Sure. So
We reviewed this section and compared it to the municipalities planning code and the borough code and a bunch of statutes that discuss taxation. And we concluded that this impact, well, general code called it an impact fee. The borough code called it a fee in lieu. We determined that it seems like an improper tax in the form of an annual impact fee. So we would advise that we take out the subsection A and C that talks about this. And instead, since this is the zoning ordinance, we would advise that an applicant apply for a variance from those subsections if they can't, from the remaining sections of 18A, if they cannot abide by those parking requirements.
Okay, so they would have to go to zoning hearing board for a variance. Exactly. Parking requirement. Yeah. Okay. All right. So your recommendation is that we remove this subsection, correct?
Yes. Remove subsections. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Remove them and just let A and C stay. Yeah.
Yeah. So removing subsection, whatever it is, A6B.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other.
All right. Okay. Is council good with that recommendation? And one of the reasons that I brought this to your attention is that parking problems for businesses, new businesses and new buildings in the TC district have been with us for many years. And what comes up frequently in discussion is they can just pay a fee in lieu. And we actually have not done very well in collecting that money, for one thing. And now we're finding out that we really shouldn't be having this in our ordinance as well. So we will remove this section.
Julia, for a business,
yes,
business that would be affected by this, would they be offered an opportunity for a permit parking space?
That I don't believe that they could do that, because what they have to do is have parking when they construct a. Let me see how I want to say this. They're going to put in a new business or build a new building, then they have a new use, and they have to have enough parking provided. They either have to have their own parking or they have to provide parking in another location. Those are the other two options they have. And if they're unable to do that, they are no longer going to be able to give us money. So I don't believe that, I don't know, I could put this over to the solicitor. Buying annual parking permits would be the same thing, basically, as a fee in lieu. Would that be correct to say that?
No, I think you're right. So that's why we're recommending that it go to the zoning hearing board. They either have to get relief or they have to comply.
Okay, does that answer you, Bob?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, the next one All right. I'm going to go to a different file here. Wrong one.
But are we going to eventually talk about number two in this file, or
number two? We're going to come back to the. We'll get to all of these here. There was one that I wanted here too. Okay. All right. I can't find it here. All right. So in my additional recommendations for items that needed to be added to additional things that I wanted to add to the ordinance. I put in a proposed definition for carport. And I don't know if you all got the chance to see it, but the definition I was proposing for a carport is a covered structure attached to or underneath a building for storage of one or two automobiles with at least one fully open side and no closable vehicle door. Did anybody have a chance to see that, think about it? Any thoughts?
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. So you good with that? All right. We're going to put that one out there. All right. Then there were a number of other recommendations that if anybody had any questions about them. The other section, and I think, Marv, what was the one that you had specific questions about?
Well, it was number two on that E-code questions for borough solicitor that you just
put up. All right. So that's this one. All right. Let me open it up again. See if I can get it to work. Open up. Okay. Yes. This is traditional neighborhood development. Yes. Okay. So I had sent this to ask Valentina to take a look at it to make sure that how that section in our ordinance was written to make sure that it met the purpose, which was to allow buildings in the T&D to fit in with existing structures around it within like 200 feet with regard to size, height, scale, and so forth. And asked her to take a look at and proposed amending one item in that section, talking about the table of regulations and saying that as permitted by this other section. And she responded that that was fine.
And just to have for context, I'm the one that brought this up because just from historical reality, there was a case where that was found as being a conflict during a zoning hearing board proceedings. And the applicant requested that since there was a conflict between the regulations and the case sensitive, that the finding be toward their benefit. And that's the way it ended up going. So I felt that there needs to be some, clarification that, that's not the way it's supposed to go. And I'll just say to the extreme, this one had to do with height, but in reality, around the TNDs, when you talk about all the regulations, a lot of the properties there have almost no pervious surface. So if you took that to be context sensitive with what's already around, somebody could potentially claim conflict and say, I should be able to be consistent with having no pervious surface. Hopefully nobody would do that, but that would be open to a possibility.
Well, the I know that the particular case you were talking about, and they proposed to the zoning hearing board that there was a conflict between the two parts of the ordinance, which is why I suggested, proposed to Valentina that we add this or as permitted by second thing on here that would say, here are this 550.14d3 little f, little one, states that, that you have to follow all the use regulations, everything in that particular district, unless you go for the context sensitive part, which is what the 550.14d4a3 refers to. And so there really isn't a conflict there. What happened in that particular case is that the zoning hearing board stated that yes, context sensitive, they could go with context sensitive, but then the information that they took from the zoning hearing board was then corrupted later on and had nothing to do with this ordinance at all. They actually corrupted something else, which made it come out worse. So basically,
but I do this clarification. I think this clarification, as you know, you and Valentina, you know, I think that's along the lines of the clarification that I was suggesting too. So I
okay,
think that
good. That, all right.
I think that would that take covers care of it. Essentially, all that right. You know that the default is that the regulations take precedence unless you right. apply. But you know, to make clear that there is no conflict, and you shouldn't, you know, claim a conflict. So
right.
That's what this clarification does. That's good for me.
Then you're good. Okay, great. All right, were there any other items in all of this material that anyone had any questions or concerns about? I know some later
yeah,
today.
Yeah, just because you didn't have the additional recommended changes in front of you. I didn't know if you wanted to go over that. Just there's a number of items in there. So since you don't have that in front of you now, I'm wondering if we want to return it or take comment from us. I know as you've asked Joni prior, but then we discuss it here. If you don't have it, do you want to have a comment and then present at the next meeting? These are all the things that came in since we don't have it. I have it if you'd like me to refer to them and then you can talk about the ones you want to talk about.
No, actually these, all of these things, with the exception of the carport definition, these were all presented to council last year.
Right.
They all came before council in November. Uh-huh. Yeah. And they've been up and available for anyone to look at, and no one has had any comment. They've been reviewed. My recommendation is we send them off to our commission.
I'm good with that. I just didn't know because you didn't have it, and we're, you know, it's a public meeting if you want us to do anything differently.
Well, and basically what, in general, just for everyone, for the audience, to let you know the general categories. The general categories were removing some restrictions that are already addressed elsewhere. For example, that if you're drilling, you have to take lunch between 12 and 1, which obviously our zoning, our noise ordinance does not say. That restricted certain activities only in the historic district, which didn't make any sense. That clarified some uses that didn't seem to make sense with regard to other parts of our ordinance, and also made one or two changes that made our ordinance in compliance with the NPC. So there really was nothing else that was particularly, I would say that the carport definition was the only one that would require any consideration and feedback. And
yep.
But if anyone has anything that they'd like to send me, email me later, that's fine.
All right, thank you.
So, Bob, yeah?
A question on how you've presented this through the Zoom meeting so everybody could see it. When we get back to being at Chancellor Hall, how would you present this to us in the audience so they could see it?
If I were doing this for the audience to see it, I would probably do it as a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, and there's screens in that room to do that?
There are. At Chancellor Center, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can show movies, you can do all kinds of things there. Yeah.
Be expected to print it out and have it in front of you, and then we all have it in front of us, and then, you know, anything that needs to be available to the public, Judy would have, and yeah.
Right. So my recommendation is to handle this the same way we discussed the saldo, is that I work with Valentina to put these things in some kind of a understandable format, forward them on to our Borough Planning Commission for their comment, and then there aren't any substantive changes, that we put it in some kind of format, send it on to the Bucks County Planning Commission, because and then after their comments come back, then we have a public hearing, because these, both the saldo and the zoning chapters have to be treated like any other zoning amendment and require a public hearing and separate from the ECOD process. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We don't need a vote for that, do we, Mike?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Valentina, I'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Okay. Talk to you then.
All right. So I think I'm done with that.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, Julian. Okay. So next, we have what was under the president's report for the, which is more of the discussion, but the policy discussion on filling vacancies. And Sue, you had put this together. We had some conversation prior. There are some items here which everybody will need to decide how we approach it, because there's, you know, there's certain things that maybe change from how we do it now, and we want to see if that's what we want to do. This is a proposal. So Sue, I'm going to hand this over to you.
Okay, I'm hoping that everyone has already read this, because I didn't intend to go through it word for word. For the public, again, this is an attempt. We have a small committee of three people who are trying to work on formalizing, documenting policies. In some cases, they're existing policies that may not be up to date in terms of the law. In other cases, they're the way we do something, but they're not necessarily formalized in a document. And so we're trying to go through those and get them in writing. So the one that we're working on now is a policy for filling vacancies. And right now, I think that the policy echoes pretty well what we do, with one pretty major exception, which is that currently when it's the end of someone's term, if they're interested in being reappointed to a committee, and they all have different names, boards and councils and whatever, but if someone's interested in being reappointed, that sort of happens automatically. There are no term limits anymore on any of our committees. And the change that's suggested in this policy is that all vacancies be announced, if you will, that they be advertised, and that if someone is interested in being reappointed, they apply just as anyone else would reapply. In my mind, at least, that's the biggest difference from what we currently do. Nicole, you're way more familiar with the process, and Judy as well. So any other comments on what else is different?
Yeah, the only other difference as well was the one where it was talking about something like if we had two people, like we wouldn't just automatically assign someone to a committee without councils approving it, you know, like giving them the option to disapprove, I guess, would be the wording. I'm trying to find, I have it in front of me. I'm trying to find the actual wording on it.
Yeah, it's not number five. Right, well, because we do vote. And so in essence, we do have the option to disapprove. This is stating it out clearly for people to consider that, you know, you could say, even though we have an empty spot, this particular person is just particularly unqualified in some way. Because usually if we have an empty spot and somebody applies and, you know, they seem reasonable and they're enthusiastic, we are grateful for our volunteers and we vote yes. So this would be stating that, you know, there's no obligation by council to fill a vacancy, but, you know, we do vote. So obviously we can all vote no.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and Sue's done a lot of work on this. Everything else was fine. And I'm okay with the change in vacancies. I do think the wording needs to be tweaked a little, because, like, just when you said it, it didn't sound right, because in essence, there isn't a vacancy if someone's willing to serve again.
Well, there is, because their terms are expiring. So there is a vacancy. Oh, the other thing that's in there is timing in terms of getting applications to be considered at the January meeting.
Right.
Because we've certainly had some frustration. Certainly, I know it was hard for Nicole when last minute people put in an application. Right. So we didn't really have a chance to consider options.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm fine. I don't see, but the one I was talking about, I'm not seeing it under five. So actually, I think you might have changed the
word. It was taken. Exactly. I was going to say that was taken out.
Okay. All right. Good. Perfect.
Okay. So the one that I printed out, you took out the obligation with council because we had that conversation.
Well, because it's, right. Yeah. Okay. My apologies.
And okay. The main difference would be is that, you know, when you're talking about renewals as opposed to vacancies, that yes. Especially if, say, if somebody had an application on file in borough office, that, you know, they should have the equal opportunity to be considered for that,
right.
You know, position, you know, let alone if new ones, you know, came in time ahead. But in some cases, there have people that have showed interest over the past period of time and there, you know, just hadn't been any openings yet.
And it's going to be a little bit more work for personnel as well as for Judy. So I'll make sure this year that her and I work together. Because normally it would just been an email, hey, do you want to serve again? Put in your application. I'm sorry, there wasn't an application. So now it's going to have to be like, hey, if you're interested in applying for your position that you already have, please send it in to us by this date. So it's just, it's going to be an extra step for Judy and I, which we'll work together and make it work.
Well, unless they wanted to amend it, there's no reason why their previous paperwork wouldn't still qualify. Mm-hmm. Would still make
they could
up.
Just yeah. Add that they've, you know, had X many years, yeah. Whatever the term
more experience
is, serving on the committee.
So having yeah. Our fingertips, though, I don't know, Judy, if you can tell me if that's easy to do, especially in a position where someone's been doing this for, let's say, yeah. A lot of years.
I do have a question as part of this policy change. You know, does council plan to put a notification out to distribute to all of the current members of the committees, commissions, and boards to inform them that we are changing this policy and that when their terms are up, that, you know, they may or may not be reappointed? I mean, I anticipate this change could be felt in a negative way by somebody that's been volunteering their time for, you know, X number of years. You know, I mean, many of you guys have served on committees yourselves. I think, and normally, you know what, I don't weigh in a lot with my opinions, but I do feel strongly about this, largely because one of my first volunteer roles in Newtown Borough was at the Newtown Library. When myself and one other person started to organize the volunteers, that was my first volunteer big job. And I was always very, very consistent, and I so was the library board, and never wanting to turn somebody away that was willing to volunteer their time and efforts and energy on behalf of the library. And I do feel somewhat similarly about the people that volunteer to better our borough in one way or another. So I just feel that if we're going to make this change, I think it really would be incumbent upon the council, maybe not, but that I feel we should be very open and transparent about informing people that this is a change that we are going to initiate. That's
We would absolutely have to, Judy, and I just wanted to say that this is not intended in any way to keep people from continuing to serve. We've had people who have given years of service to the borough and done a really good job. For me, it was more of an opportunity for new people, maybe, who might be interested but don't even know that there's an opening, if you will, because I guess there isn't really. To be more involved, to understand more what committees we have and have an opportunity also to throw their name. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, my concern is you know, we what Julia, were you about to talk?
Yeah, I was personally there a long time ago, like at the beginning of time. And I dealt with this problem too, but what do you do with people who have been serving and their terms are up and you want to reconsider them? And at that time, I had a separate application for people who wanted to reapply, but I that got kind of messy. But the application for the people who wanted to be reappointed basically was a short
essay question answer, where they had to reflect on their work on that committee and how they thought they had contributed. So I don't think we need a whole new application, but certainly someone who has served for a while on a particular committee and wants to continue has the opportunity, instead of saying, you know, I've lived in this town for 14 years and I want to give back to my community, they could say, well, I worked on this committee and I was helpful in developing this, this, and this, and I'd like to work to continue to do this, this, and this for the borough, which only develops their application further and makes them a more, an applicant that we might want to consider even more over, say, someone else. But someone else could, might sit back and say, well, no, if I have to fill out the application again, maybe I don't want to do it. And then we have to consider the fact of whether that person actually has been serving. There are people on committees who have not attended, who have, you know, have been reappointed and reappointed, but actually haven't been doing, contributing to the committee at all. And there needs to be some kind of very gentle urging of those people to think about whether they want to stay on, whether they feel they've made a contribution, and whether they really want to continue. And I think by making them fill out the application again, it will give them an opportunity to think about those things.
But you're suggesting it be like a little paragraph on their experience and what they've done and why they want to keep doing it, rather than fill out the normal application again.
No, I think they can use the same application, but you know, there's the paragraph at the bottom where you're supposed to talk about why you should be on the committee. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the perfect place for them to say, you know, I've served on this committee for a couple terms and I've been responsible for X, Y, and Z, or I have, you know, I'd like to improve this, this, and this, and why I think you should put me on this particular committee.
But Julia, wouldn't that be the responsibility of the liaison from the council to that committee to oversee who's not contributing and who's not showing up?
Yeah. In addition, but I think that that personal responsibility is important here also. And when you're applying for a job or whatever, you want to reflect on what you bring to it. And I think that that's what in the policy that Sue and the committee put together, you know, they're talking about considering the application based on what that person might bring to a particular committee.
So, yeah, the only thing I was thinking about the liaisons too is doing this, it's going to give a new job to the liaisons as well. So, like, because now it's got to be a situation where each liaison is on top of their board and they know exactly whose terms are up. Because I think to Judy's point, for personnel to write out a blanket email, I mean, this is always our problem. We don't have enough volunteers. So you, like, when you have the volunteers, you're so thankful to have them. You don't want to in any way, you know, turn them off. So the blanket email would be hard. It just would be hard to communicate without sounding like this is the policy, you know, right up. So I think it's going to be important that the liaisons for each committee are able to express to their members during the meeting that I don't know what the deadline was, but October 15th. So whatever your October meeting is, have a good idea of who's interested, guide them through this in the first year, and you know, and I'm sure everyone will catch on.
Well, not everybody on the committee is going to be up for renewal, so.
No. I guess the other thing I was thinking is that, you know, a lot of people prefer to be on one committee, but there's not an opening, so they get on a different one. But if they knew that there was an opening on the original one that they were interested in, it would give them an opportunity to maybe switch as well.
I'm sort of echoing a little bit what Judy's saying here, and a little bit of what you said, Nicole, too. My concern is it's not like, oh, we're bestowing this honor upon you, but that we rather that we are glad to have our volunteers. And sometimes it's hard, as we notice, we've had some vacancies to get people to volunteer. We do have a couple boards and committees that are a little bit more sort of popular. You might have a little, you know, a couple people competing and two applications in, but for the most part, you know, we're really glad to have our volunteers, and we're glad to have all of them, but we're grateful And I really don't want it to look like we're saying, you know, the honor is all yours to serve rather than, you know, we are honored to have you. And that's my main concern with this. And I understand that somebody might want to take a spot that somebody else has that they wish they could keep, but now they can't because somebody else wants to have a turn doing it. And I get that. And I'm all in favor of the, you know, following attendance. I know it's a little bit more work, but if you do have people who are just not showing up, that is a problem. It does worry me. So I don't know if anybody else has any further thoughts on that. Bob?
This town is amazing because of its network of volunteers. But we're just by the applications for HARB today, we see we have a new group of people coming in with families, and these are our next generation of volunteers. And they really don't know that we have this subgroup of committees and commissions and boards. And so what I was thinking, that for the fall edition, we could have a listing of what these different boards do, just short paragraphs, and invite people to volunteer. And that is a way to communicate directly to the new people who've been here 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, who really haven't been involved in the organizational structure, to bring these new people in with their new ideas. So I hear what you're saying about moving people along, but in order to fill the spaces of our elders, including myself, we have to reach out to our new citizens and new neighbors and invite them, but we first have to educate them.
So, now, Bob, I think that's a brilliant idea. That's something we can have an email about and we can just do. But the question of, do we kick people off after their term is over if they would like to continue to serve? And I guess that's the policy change that we're having.
I don't think that's a fair characterization at all. This is not about kicking people off.
Okay, because I'm saying your term is, you have a term because you make a commitment. It's not that somebody makes a commitment to serve the term because if they're stepping up and they're going to learn, then we want them to serve for a certain period of time. They commit to doing that. Then that term is up, and you know, we've always had been Judy or whoever's the secretary says, would you like to continue to serve another term? So we are talking about bringing that person, making them apply again, and now we have somebody else, and then we say, oh, you know, thanks very much, but never mind, goodbye. And that's the part that if everybody else really wants to do it and sees all these fantastic things for it, I trust all of you.
I'm okay with it as long as the way that it's written under 2B, as long as it sticks with it, the personnel chair shall notify any.
Oh, Nicole, you're just muted.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
My pinky finger. I was just saying the personnel chair will notify the incumbent whose term is expiring as well as the liaison to the board is the way it's written. And that's okay with me. I mean, at this moment, I'm the personnel chair. I can do that. But then it's up to that liaison to personally make that personal connection because they're actually, you know, even if we're still on Zoom meetings, you know, they're able to look them in the eye and be like, hey, are you interested in this again? Just so you know, we may get other applicants. Like, I think if it's done correctly, then we won't have that problem, but it's going to be super important for the liaisons in this case because the personnel chair won't be able to have face-to-face meetings with everyone whose positions are expiring.
You know, I've been personnel chair, so I understand your concern, and I remember going through this when terms were up, and I actually called and emailed the people who started expiring. And I would send them something and say, if you'd like to be reappointed, you know, please fill out this application so we can consider you. There are municipalities where the borough council changes at election time and they throw everybody off the committees and fill them again with their friends. That's not Newtown's history. That's not how we do things. But just as Bob was saying, we want to bring more people in. We want them to apply for committees. Well, if there are no openings because people are just, you know, they say, yeah, I served. Okay, sure, I'll stay on for whatever reason. Those openings don't exist for anybody new. And like Sue had pointed out, people may want to move to a different committee. I don't think, as like, if I were volunteering for something and I knew I had a four-year term, at the end of the four-year term, I was told that if I'd like to continue, I should reapply. I personally wouldn't take that as you want me off. It would just be, okay, my term is up, and I want to do it again. I want to reapply. It's how you put it. You don't have to say, well, you know, you might not get applied, you know, might not get appointed. It's just to say, thank you for your service. Your term is up. If you'd like another term, put your application in. And I don't think, like I said, our history in the borough has not been to like clear out all the members of various committees and fill them with our friends. Yeah, we just don't do
that. I'm just nervous about volunteers. I mean, volunteering at PTO, soccer, all the sports. The most young families both work two jobs nowadays. There's not many people that can put so much time into. So I'm fine with doing this. I'm good. I've read the policy. Sue and I've been working on it, but I'm just making everyone aware that there's probably going to be a learning curve. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Especially when you have like, well, that's what, again, it's just the liaison says you're a great volunteer, put your thing in, you know, write down a few things that you've done and, you know, we'll just put you in as an applicant. So I mean, it can be handled correctly, I guess, is my point.
This group of people have been volunteers in countless organizations. And you always get to that point where it's like, maybe there's nobody to fill this slot, so I have to do it again. So,
well, but Judy,
we want people to know that we are wide open and we need as many volunteers as we can find.
Right. Yeah, Bob, you have a point there because some people may kind of want not to do it again, but they feel obliged because of their connection to their fellow board members and their loyalty to the community. And they may say, okay, I'll do it again, even if they don't feel like it, but if they knew somebody else was coming in, then, you know, they might be actually glad to step down. That can happen too.
Right. So my expectation as of October 15th is just going to be, though, that there is some sort of communication between the liaisons and the people that are finished.
Sounds reasonable to me.
In addition to an email, obviously, that will come from Judy and I.
Sue, does your proposal have a form of notice built in to the community? Did we do that?
Yeah, it talks about for, I want to say, normal vacancies. For normal vacancies, that it will be in the newspaper. And I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. And for if someone were to resign, and so it was an unusual vacancy, that it would be on our website and would be announced at least one council meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I think we struck local newspaper because that's expensive and our social media. Right now, we don't have a borough social media, but a post on the website and advertised it for a hall.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And it's always announced at meetings. That's standard. And actually, can I just one quick correction in there? Number two, which I didn't pick up on initially. It says submit to borough secretary. Okay, it's submitted in person or mailed? And we should add emailed?
I thought I did that, sorry.
Email's in there.
It says mail or emailed.
Okay, you know what? On my printout, it's not there. So I think then Steve probably made that correction and the one that went up mine does not have it. So we're all good, thank you.
Yeah, they're both on there.
Yeah, I think I printed mine out earlier. All right.
So where do we go from here? Can we give this to council to write a resolution, or do people want to take another look and possibly make recommendations for changes?
I mean, it, I think you've done a lot of work, and I mean, if everyone's in agreement that this will be the policy, I don't know. It's how I've had it for a while, so I don't know how long everyone else has seen it. Like, has everyone had this for a few weeks?
They have. We changed it. For example, Tara's comment about email, that was added maybe a week ago or something. And I think most people have things set. I just saw lightning up there. Have things set so that they get notification when a new document is put into a file. So most people, I presume, got an email saying that I had deleted one and put in another one.
How do the other members of council feel? Are you okay with this as discussed to go forward and vote this into the new policy? Or would you like to, there really aren't any changes. We discussed the changes. We discussed it, but we haven't, said we were going to make these changes such that we would need something new forward. Because we can go ahead. If everybody is felt there, they have that time to consider the ramifications of changing that policy, the volunteers and when their terms are up, and feels good with the new idea and likes it, we can go ahead and have a vote. Raise your hand if you want to continue it on, otherwise we're good.
Do we need to have a vote to send it to council to develop a resolution? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know that it needs to be a resolution.
No, I don't think that needs a resolution. I got this as a resolution.
Yeah. No, I don't think that needs a vote. If you're going to adopt this policy tonight, that needs a vote. But if you're just, sending it on the recommendations to be put in a resolution form, again, that doesn't require a vote. You just direct that to happen. So
here's a good question. Judy, have you even seen this, the whole thing? Because your name's mentioned a lot on here.
I'll be honest. I have not read through it.
Okay.
My comments tonight were more just based on the overall philosophy, I guess, of it.
I mean, it's kind of everything that you already do. It's really just more on the personnel chair and the liaisons, basically. But actually, it might be less on you since you helped me out. Sometimes you help me out so much that time of year with music in the park and Halloween parade and everything else. So,
Can I make a suggestion? It sounds like not everyone has seen the final version, because I know several versions came up over the last few days. So can I suggest perhaps, Sue, if you want to figure out what is the final version of it and put a date on it somewhere as the version date and make sure everybody has seen that one, and then we can reconsider it at our next meeting, or between now and the next meeting, or have a resolution ready to go, but just to say that we're going to adopt the policy version, whatever it is.
I did put a date on it, and the one that got put in tonight's meeting file, I believe, is the latest one, but I'll certainly double check that.
Yeah.
There's no date on the one I have.
Yeah, the okay. One that is, but all right, so we'll just do, it's not tabled. It seems like everyone's in agreement. It'll just be the final tweaking, and then it'll become policy as of our work session.
Well, we're going to send it to Mike to write up a resolution, because you have
a resolution.
Can't it just be a motion?
Mike.
The last one that we did, we had a resolution, because the policy is a separate document, if you will. So the document, the policy itself referred to the resolution, and the resolution referred to the policy number.
Yeah, the policy and the resolution will be essentially the same document. You have to have some mechanism by which council will be adopting the policy. So it's just as simple just to put the policy inside the resolution that you're adopting to, or you're passing to adopt the policy.
So my issue with just having it in the resolution is that they're not available to people, and that's why I wanted to have a separate document. So when I was looking back, trying to find resolutions like Right to Know, which we certainly have. You have to look through every resolution and try and find the damn thing. So that was part of my thinking.
Yeah, no, Sue is right. Like, you want the policy, and then you have the policy manual, and then you have the resolution in the resolution book and cross-filed.
So I'm going to make sure that I upload a new version, or the latest version, with a date on it. And if anyone has any issues, they're going to let me know. And otherwise, we'll have council draft a resolution, correct?
Right. Since we're not voting, Mike, can everyone take a look at that? Email Sue if they have any questions they didn't have tonight. And then can we say then, once she's heard from everyone, we direct you to write the resolution, and then we then vote on that at the next meeting?
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to vote to direct me to draft the resolution. You only have to vote to adopt the resolution. So we can work with Sue and get a draft together and then distribute it to all of you. And if you have comments, you know, we'll tweak it, and we can edit it, and then it'll be on an agenda for passing the resolution.
All right, that sounds good. That way we're not waiting to then get it to the next month, and then I'll
approve
the resolution, and then you know it's September. So, yeah, all right.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, thank you all. And thanks, Sue, for working so hard on this. And that is the last item on the agenda. Do we have any old business?
So I'd just like to give an update on the follow-up to the kickoff meeting for the comprehensive plan that occurred just a little over a week ago. Give a list of the action items that have been fulfilled so far. So Julie and I looked at the prior residential and business surveys that were from the previous decade. So those, as you were notified, have been put into the ShareFire folder. My impression was that they were, largely still quite relevant. Except that maybe when we're talking about where you bought something, we'll have to include online now, what wasn't as prevalent the last decade. And an advantage of keeping the surveys as similar as possible to 10 years ago is we can see how things have evolved in that period of time. Another action item was that the recommendations and the review that the Planning Commission last year would be compiled, and Leslie Dunleavy did a fine job of that, coordinated by Mark. And again, those have been uploaded. I think they're an excellent start to the work ahead. Mark and I had a conversation, partially because he wasn't able to hear a lot and was in and out of the meeting. The thoughts right now is that the Planning Commission being the main, well, I'll call it face-to-face, with the Newtown Planning Commission being the main face-to-face with the Bucks County Planning Commission is the reasonable way to go. Then, of course, there would be additional higher-level meetings between Newtown Planning Commission and council, as well as fully open for residential input. I wouldn't see those as necessarily waiting until the end. Those can be, progressing throughout. The ownership and charting it out does need to lie with council. I may not have made that clear at the kickoff meeting clear enough, and there was concern that it was going to be that the Planning Commission had to have the overall drive and lead of it, and that wasn't what I was trying to get across. Mark and I clarified that. And I see we have one member of the Planning Commission at least in online. So I guess any thoughts, Ted, that you have on, you know, having an active role in the, you know, face-to-face with the Bucks County Planning Commission? And I think, you know, Mark is going to try and reach out to the other members also.
Ted, any comments?
I don't think Ted has a microphone. I think he's just listening in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Or he may not be there. So, all right. Well, thank you, Ted. All right. And thanks, Marv.
Marv, I do have one question. When you did talk to Mark Craig, did you consider a meeting schedule going forward? Or do you just plan on...
right now, according to the schedule that was put out by the, you know, Bucks County Planning Commission, the first face-to-face wouldn't be until July. So the only question becomes whether there's either a desire or the, you know, ability to get things together to do the first meeting any sooner than that.
So
that schedule is also on the share file.
Okay. Without having taken a look, close look at that, is the plan to have these comprehensive plan meetings as part of the monthly Planning Commission meetings?
Yeah. So right now, at least, I think Mark's preference is not to schedule a second meeting.
Okay.
I assume maybe they would if need be. I think 10 years ago, from what he knew, they didn't schedule second meetings. And, you know, I brought that up as an idea just to make sure that Planning Commission didn't have to try and squeeze it around other things they were doing, but certainly.
Okay, then we won't need to advertise. There won't be additional meetings at this point then. If that changes, you know, just let me know.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have two things which are sort of moving targets, and it comes out of our effort to help the businesses on State Street. And the first one is the tree wells from Jefferson all the way to Penn. Over the last month, we counted them and we had Ron do an estimate of what it would cost for us to clean out the weeds and put in some mulch. Since that time, some of either the property owners or the business owners have cleaned them up for themselves. But now we have a remainder, some of which are right in the middle of Center to Washington. And the cost of that final cleanup would probably be below $2,500. And I'm not sure if this is the time to talk about it or whether Susan and I, under the Lights, Trees, and Properties, have the authority to spend that money under the budget, which is there. So I'm throwing that out as to, should we do that? Should council for this year clean up the State Street to make it more presentable so that when the businesses come out on the street, it looks a lot better?
Yeah, I know that there was, and we have Joan here, Joan Grisales, and Susan Murphy from Shade Tree, but we had the presentation in, I believe it was February, with the look to have the training and the inventory. And so there was the proposal to use the Shade Tree Commission money that way. And unless certain things aren't going to happen, Shade Tree would like to use them another way. And Marv, I would leave you to speak on that. I don't want to now take theirs and Shade Tree Commission money and allocate it towards.
Not done yet.
But we do have the matching funds for the Mercantile Group, and that was, I know, the original proposal for not pruning or anything, which is separate, but the mulching. You know, Corky, I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Carol about that. That would be the cleanup and the mulching you're referring to, Bob. That you asked Ron to give an estimate for, correct?
Well, also, Joan's been working on an estimate to clean the trees and eliminate the dead branches and lift up the branches so we could walk under them. And she gave us an estimate, I think today or yesterday, of about $5,000. But she stopped at center and I wanted her to go all the way to Penn.
No, pardon me. We did go all the way to Penn.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Was Sorry. I wrong in reading it, Joan?
No, I sent a clarification later after because I didn't realize I had just indicated center. It was okay. It was kind of complicated breakdown he did because he did it block by block.
Okay, so how much is in your budget, and then how much do we have in the mercantile budget? So can we go ahead and do this and get the street ready for when they're opening next week?
So what I did was I went through, got the estimate with Susan Markey. We looked at every tree with the arborist. And then I went back and looked at our budget for work we have to do. And, you know, the storm damage last week caused significant damage at the ballpark. Last year, we had gotten an estimate to do trimming on those trees, which we ran out of money last year. By the end of the year, we just left them go because it didn't seem that there was imminent issues. We had three trees damaged there, so we have to take care of that. Ron had to take care of a hazard tree at Linton Hill Park. We have a large ash tree that we would like to have treated, which is going to be about $450. And then same thing with the ballpark on Jefferson Street. We have cork trees there that, as of last year, they were a prune hazard. I mean, you know, this was an odd storm that came through. But in any case, it looks like we're going to have to spend about $2,400. Out of our $5,000 budget. So that excludes the $2,500 that we have for the spotted lanternfly, which is basically just sitting there until we see the spotted lanternfly.
I've had one in my yard.
Oh, you did? Yeah. So we haven't seen any, or I haven't heard of any over in the Brian Gregg Park or anywhere else. I've been looking, but I mean, hopefully we'll get by, but we do have that money set aside for that purpose. So, you know, that leaves us with about $2,500 left. So, you know, I guess the question is whether or not we're going to be able to get any funding for that tree inventory, because that's very important. If that's not going to happen this year, we would have to resubmit for it or requested in our budget for next year and get on it right away, but that would leave some money to do work in the business district. But, you know, that's $2,500 towards those trees, which the estimate came in at $5,000. And that doesn't include two trees that are basically dead and one tree, well, that's empty. But it's not really the time of year to plant the tree. So, you know, the thing is, if we use that $2,500, we're not going to be able to plant any trees either. So, I mean, I think it's important to trim those trees. We really, really looked at them. So I would say the tree money would go to trimming, you know, strategic trees for $2,500. Mm-hmm. And then there wouldn't be money left to weed them. I'm sorry to say that, but what about the matching funds? Is there any way we can use that?
On my mic. Can I make a comment here?
Sure.
I appreciate, and Joan, the Shade Tree Commission has a budget to do the trees, and that's what you should be doing.
Right.
As far as the tree wells are concerned, the business owners on State Street have a certain responsibility to make their businesses welcoming, to make the fronts of their businesses look nice, to make sure their sidewalks are swept, that the trash is picked up, that their tree wells are weeded. It doesn't take money, and it's their responsibility. If they want customers to come in, they want the place to look nice, they need to do some of this themselves. We're not asking them to go out and buy a whole lot of expensive stuff. I know they don't have money right now. But they can weed. It doesn't cost a thing to weed. It doesn't cost a thing to clean their windows. It doesn't cost a thing to sweep their sidewalks. I think we have to stop babying them. I'm happy to change ordinances to allow them to do some things that we don't ordinarily allow them to do, but they need to take responsibility to make the place look nice. So I appreciate you coming up with this price and so on, but as you know, some businesses took care of their tree wells already. Let's get the rest of them to take care now.
Well, I just read a report this afternoon. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is estimating $25,000 to $40,000 businesses to terminate operations, and most of those are small retail operations. So our business district is in trouble. They have not been open for over 90 days. The tenants haven't paid rent. The landlords haven't received rent to pay their mortgages or taxes. And I think this is an exceptional year. And we need to spend money to clean up the trees at the parks, and those ash trees we need to treat. But I think this year, spending a couple grand to finish up the wells is a gesture that I think we should make.
And I appreciate your point. You're absolutely right. But like it is not financial. You can physically remove a few weeds. And we are saying that we have the matching funds for the mulching and for Ron to go out and do that mulching. And that's something that I talked to Corky about after that was brought in. But Julie is right. The Shade Tree Commission money is for shade trees and for their care and looking after them and things related to them, but it's not for weeding. And so we shouldn't be taking the money away from the shade tree. If they're not going to be using it this year, it should go towards the inventory. Meanwhile, we've got all these trees that have come down and we have these large old trees, and that's a whole nother issue. So I totally get what you're saying, but I agree with Julia. The weeding is not something that falls under shade tree. It isn't there.
Well, if we don't have it in their budget, is there other money in property that we can use?
So I know you said Ted can't talk on this. I mean, this has been a problem for so long, Bob. I've always wanted to try to find an answer to this. And literally, I feel like I banged my head against the wall for 3 years. So at the end of the day, the outcome was that businesses are responsible. We've talked about, should we have a beautification board and start that again? But the bottom line is we need more volunteers and we need money. And if it's on the budget now, I would say to you though, and I don't know if I have any authority on this, that we did not, I've already said this to Joan, and she might end up needing this money though for other things. I mean, we didn't have Arbor Day this year. So that is about $3,000. I'm not saying it should be all spent on tree wells, but I do think, and Mike Clark could let me know, I think that we would have the authority as a group to allocate because of trying times or something. Like, this wouldn't be something that we would do all the time. The problem, Bob, is every time something comes up with Sage Street, it's always like, well, where's the money going to come from? So I agree with you that it would be nice, and it would be nice to help out the businesses in this trying time. I know, again, like I said, as well as budget and finance knows, that was money not spent this year, but whether or not that's a decision the board or we would want to make to allocate some funds that way, I can't make that decision for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Corky, Mr. Mayor, have you had a chance to speak to Carol, or has she gotten back to you regarding using some of the matching funds for the tree wells?
The problem sure the Mercantile Group has right now is they've also asked us, to be able to waive the fees for their welcome back celebration. Their finances are not very good for many reasons. One of them is because, not paying dues, the businesses have not been active, all of the things that have been previously mentioned in the statements by the councilors. From the standpoint of being able to do this, I don't know where the money should come from. I understand that, the council, the borough is in a position to shift some money around from whatever else we may have done from snow plowing and the winter portion of things. But I think in order to make it look presentable for the community, I think we need to address it. And to Bob's point, I think it's the best thing that we can possibly do. I would like to chime in on the trees, because I firmly believe that the trees are need to be assessed, because I have three trees on, you know, Lincoln Avenue that are in desperate need of something. And but I think if we don't get an inventory of the trees, I would rather see things taken care of from that standpoint, and then just, you know, get Ron to do it and just pay for it. But I think the trees need to be assessed from the standpoint of getting them inventoried. So the Mercantile Group has very little limited funds to begin with, and with what they're going to be putting on for the celebration for 2 weeks, two weekends, I'm not sure they have enough money to do what they want to do.
So if I can just say, I think I'm the one who started this whole thing about Shade Tree, and it was not with the intention of having them pay for this. Bob and I started down that path, and then it occurred to me that we might be stepping on Shade Tree's toes. So I sent an email saying, just want to make sure, do you think this is part of maintenance, or is this something that belongs to property? So apologies for this whole red herring, because obviously this has gotten everybody all worked up. I absolutely agree with Julia that weeding doesn't cost any money and that people should be able to do it. But I also believe that at this point, it looks really bad. And I'm surprised, I guess, Bob, at your comment about $2,500, because I thought what I saw said $1,000. And if it's $1,000, I think we should spend it. But I think we should also have a caveat, whatever, that it's the owners, the businesses, and I know that's another issue, responsibility to do it from here on out.
Well, as I said when I started, it was a moving target, because we had 35 and now we got 20. So the number has been coming down.
Okay.
And I could check in with Ron as to how many we have to complete, because more were done this week as businesses knew that they could reopen. But we need to be an inviting community for our businesses to survive.
I guess our additional problem now is, what is going to unlock the matching funds? We essentially put $2,000 of matching funds for assisting the business district in something they wanted to do as a 50% match. So we'll have to figure out if they're never going to be able to tap that if they can't get the match.
Right. No, I agree with you, but I think it could also come from people in the community too. The problem is now we just went through a really weird time where, you know, we're just everything was kind of put on, life was put on hold. So, but I think the idea was that if people wanted to do a collection, you know, then we would start a fund, and then that group could then match it. I mean, every year, usually we get a check. Well, I don't know if First National Bank's going to be giving us any checks anytime soon, but First National Bank usually gives us a check for Arbor Day as well as the Rotary. Both those checks were not, weren't distributed to us this year because those events didn't happen. So there are ways that different groups in the community could want to support that. And I think that was kind of the idea. The problem now being nobody has any money. Like now it's like, you know, we can't even have a movie in the park to raise money for it. You know what I mean?
Julia?
Yeah.
Are you raising your hand? You just muted yourself.
Yeah, I muted, okay. So we're having this very long discussion. We've spent more than 20 minutes on it yet. It is not a discussion that the business people have come to us with. We don't have a presentation from them saying, could you please help us clean up State Street? I think it's great, Bob, that you want to make State Street look nice. And I agree with you. This has been a problem forever, okay? I know I spent a whole weekend weeding in front of my house, and it has got 12-inch high weeds again. And I'm going to have to spend another weekend weeding in front of my house too. So it's not fun. It's a repetitive job. It needs to be done. But the business owners have not come to us, their organization has not come to us with a plan and say, we want to beautify State Street by these flowers, this and this and this, can you help us? We're just out there saying, well, it'd be really nice if we did this and we should pay for this. And that's not how, there's personal business responsibility for making their businesses look nice. If they want to come to us with a presentation and a request, we can certainly consider it. But I'm not, there comes a point that you have to enable, but you don't have to do for people all the time. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just trying to say, if you want someone to think your house looks pretty or your business looks inviting, you do things to bring them in. We can't make their business successful by cleaning up in front of it.
Mandates that they do this? What is the basis for this responsibility?
They need to police themselves. I hate to use that term, but it's their responsibility. The business owners should get together and say, you know what? State Street would look a whole lot nicer if we just got out Saturday morning and weeded the tree wells. And then they would do it.
The problem is your historical reference is erroneous today.
Well,
that right away belongs and is responsibility of the borough.
Okay, we're now moving the whole thing over into a much larger, like amorphous discussion, which has been hit many times, like over many years. And I think it's the kind of thing that if we have, you know, some written proposals, some written ideas, we can share some emails because it's right. So it's been 18 minutes so far on this. I think
what do we want Joan to do?
Pardon?
What do we want Joan to do?
Well, I'd just like to say that I believe that it's covered under the maintenance ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it has to be.
Your foliage weeds are 1 inch too high. So,
yeah.
Because we did have the proposal to do the matching fund, if council said and many of our solicitors said and Pat said, if we wanted to, like this year, for example, do a match, or you know, we can do that. Shade Tree looks at what they need to do that's best for the trees. We can have this discussion, we can share the proposal, and then move forward on it as long as there's nothing that requires a vote. And right now, we're not ready to take a vote on anything. So I think everybody agrees we'd like our downtown to look good. Everybody agrees we want to support our businesses, but the businesses also need to, you know, people have responsibility owners as property owners. So can we
don't own them.
And the advantage of the matching funds is we wouldn't even need a vote if the business people came with a proposal to get 50% from us, no vote needed. That's why it seemed to be the simplest thing. Because it's in the budget already.
Right. So we can do this in email and we can share our proposals with each other and make a determination and get it done, and we don't have to, you know, take all the sentence. Right now, there is not a sort of proposal that is, you know, everybody's received and has had a chance to take a look at. And I appreciate, John, you and Sue went out and looked at that. And I think that's important. How are Shade Tree's funds best used, and how does the Shade Tree Commission look to use their funds this year in caring for the trees, and then in terms of doing the inventory? And that's separate from what is, you know, what we want to do to support doing tree wells and mulching, et cetera, et cetera. So, Joan, is Shade Tree Commission looking for something from council tonight? Because you've put a lot of hard work into going around and looking at everything.
No, I think it sounds like it's up to our discretion as to what to do with the trees in the business district. So we do have some funding. The trees don't look good. We can't afford to do all of them. So I will get with Sue and Doug, and we'll try to make a decision as to whether we're going to go ahead and do that, and then just put off our inventory funds, you know, make a request in our budget for next year. So let me get with them, and then I'll let you know, you know, what we'll do with the trees.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And then we can have a conversation about, you know, what things, you know, we might propose to the mercantile group.
Okay.
All right. Is there any other old business?
I have another item of old business. So I wanted to bring everyone up to date on the bridge project. This is another casualty of the COVID-19 crisis. As you recall, the township and the borough were going to put together an application for a planning grant for the pedestrian bridge over Newtown Creek at Cross Lane. Unfortunately, the township has even more severe financial difficulties than the borough, and they have cut all non-essential spending and have basically said that they have no funding to assist with applying for the grant, no funding to provide the match for the grant, if should we get it, and therefore has called a halt to the bridge project at this moment. I understand third hand that a little bit of work was done by John Everts at CKS. I'm not sure how much, I haven't been told how much of the fee that we authorized has been spent. That work will be put towards the application again. We can revisit the project again, hopefully next year when we have a better idea of what the financial situation is of both the borough and the township. The second item related to that is just to give you an update on the Newtown Common. We are still waiting for DCNR to come out and do the final visit. They have to come and close out the grant. We still have $20,000+ waiting for us at DCNR that hopefully DCNR will still give us. But they actually have to come and visit. Their offices are in Montgomery County, so since the beginning of March, they haven't been allowed to be in their office or travel or anything. So I haven't heard yet. They aren't scheduling site visits yet, but hopefully they'll take care of that this summer.
Thank you, Julie.
And then just one more COVID grant. Unfortunately, the Greenlight Go funding has been suspended for this year. So they are accepting my application to carry on to next year. So whenever they open that up, it'll already be in there.
All right, yeah, that's good. I'm glad they're keeping it. Thank you. Anything else? All right, any sort of urgent new business?
John Mack has extended an invitation for a video meeting for the Human Relations Commission on the evening of the 17th. And I will take care of inviting the members of our committee to join in on that next week.
All right.
And I'll send that around to Judy to distribute that meeting notice to members of council.
Thank you very much, Bob. Anything else? My public to be heard. No hands. Thank you all for joining us. All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? All right, motion passes. Thank you all so much.
Good Thank to see you. You. Thank
all right,
you.
Thanks. All right. All right. Meeting is adjourned. All
Good
right.
night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Chief. All right.